I feel like on occasion I need to bring guests in that totally understand the greatness of the 16-time heavyweight champion of the world.
Sure.
So we're going to do that momentarily. Welcome back in. Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Matt Douglas and Andy Bulbarch with you up until 6 tonight. Then it's time for the Urban Meyer Show. I would imagine Coach Meyer's not the easiest guy to deal with these days, given the performance of his Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday against the Iowa Hawkeyes. And here to talk more Buckeye football with us is Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. All I can offer you is one word. Woo!
Yes. You saw that 30 for 30 on Tuesday night, did you not?
I did. It was very well done, I thought.
I thought it was very well done also. I mean, they've only got about 90 minutes to do those things, and you can't really fit everything into an hour and a half. And look, when you've got as long and as detailed and as interesting a life as Ric Flair has had, 90 minutes sometimes just isn't enough.
Not to mention you had all the interviews with everybody else around his life with the family, and then his the other wrestlers that he used to perform with. I thought it was a very, very good documentary for only being 90 minutes and having some commercial breaks in there.
Yeah, that was great stuff. Matt Douglas, slowly yet surely, is becoming a fan.
I don't know about that. I think it was interesting. I watched it for Bull, I'll say that. I wanted to see what he was all about there and learned a lot about Ric Flair and a lot about why Andy Bull Barch is a big Ric Flair fan.
Absolutely. They're one and the same, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Both style it and profile it. No question about that.
I know Andy owned a limo. I know this for a fact.
Oh, man. Maybe a guy could always dream, right?
Sure.
Exactly.
If only I had private jet planes, I could fly Dunny in to do this interview in studio every week, and I could fly down to Columbus and watch these games and have a limo waiting for me on the runway when I get out, and Rolex watches, diamond rings, all that good stuff.
Styling and profiling.
That's right, like only the Nature Boy can. How tough was it, or how tough has it been, rather, to work with Coach Meyer this week? I know how he can be after losses. Some losses I feel like he can just brush off. Then there are losses, like the one they suffered on Saturday against the Hawkeyes, that are just tough to swallow.
Well, as any coach doesn't handle a loss well. I think that's, you know, and I think with Urban Meyer, everybody knows that since his days of Florida, when he, you know, had the, you know, he was hospitalized for a little bit after having the loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and kind of what started towards his 1 year retirement. So Coach Meyer doesn't take losses well. His teams don't handle it well either. You know, he has got champions dinner on Sundays when they win. Well, and those are really nice meals. Well, when they don't, they're burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. So they learn that, you know, losing is not acceptable, especially at Ohio State. On Saturday after the game, it was a lot of his answers in his 3.5-minute press conference was, I don't know. On Monday and on Wednesday, he didn't have a lot of answers. But he's also moving on. You know, he's going to move on to a very good, very tough Michigan State team. And you can almost argue that this has mainly been the rival the last 5 years is Michigan State instead of Michigan.
We'll get to Sparty here in just a moment, but I want to go back to something you just mentioned. Since when has it been punishment to have hot dogs and hamburgers for a Sunday
sounds
dinner,
pretty
right?
Good to me.
Yeah, that sounds
When you're used to having pot roast and you're used to having some nicer meals, burgers and hot dogs aren't exactly the most thrilling thing in the world.
Fair enough, although I'd be just fine eating burgers and hot dogs. That's a champion's dinner as far as I'm concerned. I can get by with that.
Especially for a college kid, right?
Right.
Exactly, and that's why we're not on the Ohio State football team.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, no, okay, simply put, you're right. Just one of the perks, I suppose, but even so, you mentioned hot dogs and burgers. I'm thinking, great, man. I think summer, cookout, we're having a great time. There's nothing wrong with that. That can't really be a big form of punishment. What have you heard this week from Greg Schiano? Because I had read earlier in the week, he really kind of took this loss really hard. He put this on his shoulders. What are you hearing from him?
And that's exactly what he's doing. He's taking this loss on himself. He's not putting on anybody else. He feels the defense with was ready to go, but his game plan wasn't. He's taken full accountability for it. Yeah, but everybody to a man has been saying, we have to move past this loss. We can't dwell on it because of the tough Michigan State game coming up. It's almost the exact opposite of how they were after beating Penn State and going into that Iowa game. Mm-hmm.
I get the idea of trying to get past that one, but I mean, that was an unraveling, so to speak. I mean, Greg Schiano isn't the only one who should be pointing a finger at himself. The offense was a little stale there. I mean, four interceptions by JT Barrett. It seemed like Iowa knew everything Ohio State was going to do in that game. Isn't that something they sort of need to look at and get figured out before they go into Michigan State, Illinois, and Michigan?
Absolutely. And that's something they are looking at. Yeah. As far as the interceptions, the first three interceptions came on JT Barrett's third and fourth reads. So the first and second reads, they were covered. There was no way he was trying to fit it into the window. Then he's starting to worry. Then he's starting to rush a little bit and tries to fit a ball in the window instead of living to play another down. And that's when the ball gets picked off. And Iowa did a great job of disguising their coverages on those third and fourth progressions before JT could run. And then you also have to look at the running offense. J.K. Dobbins only had six rushes.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Weber, I believe, only had five. Antonio Williams, the third string running back, had four. JT Barrett had 14 or 15. So, yes, some of those are sacks. Some of those are QB option or are the option play, whether he keeps it or gives it to the running back. But the quarterback should not have almost every single carry. And that's unacceptable. I think they have to find a better job to get the ball in J.K. Dobbins' hands, or if not J.K.'s, then at least in Mike Weber's.
Seems like the blame has really kind of been spread all over the place. the special teams gaffes have been really a bit of a problem throughout the course of the year. We talked about kickoff coverage last week. And this week...
Hey, they had a touchback this week, so that was...
That's right. They didn't have a touchback this week. But to get back to defense, anytime you surrender 55 points, obviously things have to come apart. Was there a unit defensively that really seemed to take most of the blame, or is there a defensive unit you thought, Donnie, while watching this game, you thought, man, these guys have got to be better, they're just getting torched?
Absolutely, the linebackers. I thought the linebackers need to play a lot better for Ohio State to be in these next three games. I thought the linebacker play against Iowa reminded me about the linebacker play against Oklahoma. Everything was open over the middle. The tight ends could run all day. I mean, there were times when Iowa ran the same play, back-to-back plays, and got the same amount of yardage, 19, 20-yard pass plays to the same tight end right over the middle, just a little fly route, and they were big gainers, and that's what hurt them. Penalties, I believe the Buckeyes are sixth in the country in penalty yards with almost 700. That's unacceptable. The team needs to just play more disciplined. The team needs to play just overall better than they did against Iowa.
Well, that brings us to the opponent for this week. I was watching that Ohio State-Iowa game, and two things stood out. Number one, I kept thinking, just because you and I work together all the time, I kept thinking, man, Matt Douglas was right. He kept saying, this Iowa game worries him. This Iowa game worries him. But then I kept thinking, doggone it. Ohio State couldn't play like this next week against my Michigan State Spartans. Now, Sparty comes in with a bit of a full head of steam, an emotional victory, last-second field goal to defeat Penn State. It's a couple two-loss teams here coming in. However, the winner of this one really appears to be on the fast track to get to the Big Ten championship game. So this could be very, very interesting on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. If Ohio State wins on Saturday, they beat your Michigan State Spartans, and then they beat Illinois the following week, I believe – mathematically, Ohio State automatically goes into the Big Ten championship game, no matter what happens with the Michigan game, no matter what happens with any other game. But it's a big ask to win this game. This game is going to be very tough for the Buckeyes. Lewerke, the quarterback for Michigan State, has been playing extremely well. And I think one of the big things is that Michigan State, Mark D'Antonio, he's really changed his offense a little bit to work around Lewerke and work towards what he wants to do, what he has to do, whether it be rolling out and getting away from slightly inexperienced offensive line. He can run. He will run. But he's been able to throw the ball very effectively in the last five, six games.
And when you talk about Michigan State, at least in the D'Antonio era, you're talking about a team that is pretty stout defensively. Now, they are a little bit young on that side of the ball, but they're still pretty doggone good. You know, what is Ohio State saying about the challenges that the Spartans will present defensively on Saturday?
I think the Buckeyes are looking at this game, especially when they're looking at Michigan State's defenses, they're running into a brick wall. They have to knock down this brick wall just because, you know, they look at this as a big rivalry game. This defense, they're going to be stout. They're going to be waiting for the Buckeyes. I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at last week's game tape with Iowa. Michigan State isn't going, ooh, we can do a lot of what they did. We got a good shot at winning this. They're not saying, oh, we might win. I bet you the Michigan State Spartans coming in here as a 16-point underdog, which makes no sense to me. They're coming in here with a big chip on their shoulder going, we got this. I think we have the game plan to win this game. And that defense is a big part of it.
16-point underdogs.
Wow.
I don't get it either. It makes no sense to me how the Buckeyes are a 16-point favorite to Michigan State.
Well, they say home field's good for 3 points, but that's quite a few there, I feel.
Absolutely. And especially when you look at the series when the home team in the last five games in the Urban Meyer era, between when he plays Michigan State, the home team has not won a game.
I was just going to say that. You go back the last 10 years, and you mentioned the 5 years in the Urban Meyer era, the home team has had little to no success in this series in recent history. It's crazy.
And I got one better for you, Bull. When you look at the total scores, I believe Ohio State has the edge 121-120 in the last 5 years against Michigan State.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of... Yeah,
so for them to be a 16-point favorite, that's incredible.
Yeah, with no major injuries that we know of on either side, at least at this point, boy, that's really bizarre. Now, I have to pose this question to you because anytime you take one on the chin the way Ohio State did last week, people start talking. Mm-hmm. If they lose to Michigan State, that's three losses, but when you think about the three teams they've lost to, you lose in a very difficult environment against a bit of an underrated team in Iowa. Let's just say they lose to Michigan State. That will be a loss against a top 15 team. And then, of course, Oklahoma. That's a top 5 team.
Yeah.
Those aren't bad losses.
No.
But it's Ohio State, so you don't expect to lose three times in a season.
Expect to lose two times in a season in Ohio State.
Yeah, but what kinds of conversations do you anticipate having or hearing about if they lose this game against Michigan State Saturday?
And you can hear in the dark corners of rooms that you know Urban Meyer is he still the same coach? And, you know, should he leave Ohio State? Should he leave Ohio State? I think those questions might come up a little bit more and more if they lose on Saturday. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do start coming up. And does Urban Meyer still have it? I think he still does. You know, they just have to change maybe some of the things they do in offense or defense because, you know, a lot of teams are starting to figure out this Ohio State offense, and it's showing.
Columbus is a tough play. I keep hearing the Cooper comparisons. At least I have been here for the last couple of days about how he's a great recruiter but hasn't been able to win with that group of guys yet, get a national championship. Sean, I'm curious. You obviously follow Big Ten. I just started thinking this. Maybe this is a dumb question, but you got Michigan State coming into this game. They're a two-loss team. You have a two-loss Ohio State team coming into this game. But something seems bigger for Michigan State in this matchup because they've beaten Penn State. I mean, a team that's not easy to beat. They've beaten Michigan, who, of course, they always want to beat. To knock off Ohio State would be sort of the trifecta. It almost has that feeling that, you know, this is a bigger game for Michigan State than it is for Ohio State. Not that it isn't big for Ohio State, but I'm just curious on your take on that.
No, absolutely, and you know that puts Michigan State in the driver's seat for the Big Ten championship game, and the play more than likely Wisconsin, unless Wisconsin somehow just falls into the abyss with their last three games. But no, I see it the same way. I think this Michigan State team coming in here, I think they have a lot more to play for than a lot of people think, and a lot of people are thinking of, and they will be a very tough team to put away on Saturday.
Should be a lot of fun. And again, we will have that game for you here on AM 930 WEOL. They're going to kick it at noon. Pre-game coverage begins at 10:30. Dunny, what are the big high school playoff football games you guys are covering down in Columbus?
We got a big regional semifinal this weekend. A lot of them is between two local teams, two Central Ohio teams. Our biggest one is Pickerington Central playing undefeated Hilliard-Bradley at St. Francis DeSales High School. That's our big one. That's going to be a huge game when it comes to playoffs this week. It should be a fun one.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And not to mention, the Ohio State men's basketball team, they start up this weekend.
Radford.
They start up on Friday.
We should mention we've got that game, I believe, right?
We do indeed on Sunday, correct? Yeah, coverage begins at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and we're not that far away from talking Ohio State hoops. That's right around the corner, my friend. Dunny, we look forward to doing it on the phone again next week and then having you in studio the day before Thanksgiving in just a couple of weeks. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely, guys. Talk to you guys next week.
All righty. That's Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Should be a really good one on Saturday.